الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. Seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome all of you for the fifth class in the sixth album for explanation of the book بلوغ المرام من أدلة الأحكام للحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمة الله عليه. Again, this is the fifth class in the sixth album concerning explanation of the book Attainment of the Objective. And last class we talk about the book of oaths and vows, and if I'm not mistaken we reach up to hadith number 1181. Inshallah we go back again to this hadith which is stated in page number 487. Again, this is the Arabic English version, بلوغ المرام, attainment of the objectives, and page number 487, hadith number 1181. وعن عقبة ابن عامر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كفارة النذر كفارة يمين رواه مسلم وزاد الترمذي فيه إذا لم يسمه ولأبي داود من حديث ابن عباس مرفوعا من نذر نذرا لم يسمه فكفارته كفارة يمين ومن نذر نذرا في معصية فكفارته كفارة يمين ومن نذر نذرا نذرا لا يطيقه فكفارته كفارة يمين وإسناده صحيح إلا أن الحفاظ رجحوا وقفه. This hadith 9181 narrated by Uqba ibn Amir, may Allah be pleased with him. There is a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, the atonement for a vow is the same for an oath. The hadith is sahih as mawquf. And in another narration that it came with other version that the Prophet of Allah sallam said, what the meaning is, if one of you takes a vow but does not name it, did not specify, make it specific what kind of vow, the atonement or the expiation or the forgiveness for it, the same as that for an oath. Same thing about if anyone takes a vow to do an act which is forbidden in Islam, the atonement is the same also as if a person made an oath and he did not fulfill it. And if anyone takes a vow which is unable to fulfill it for whatever reason, so the makeup for it or the atonement is the same as for oath. If a person make an oath, that means swear by Allah's name to do something and he could not do it for whatever reason, that a correction for this, that the person will have to dress 10 poor Muslims or to feed 10 poor Muslims or to free a slave. One of these three things will be expiation, will be forgiveness for the oath that he is swearing by Allah that I'm going to do so and so, but he was not able to do it. Or, so the same thing will apply if a person that he made a vow but was bigger than what he was thinking, and as a result of this he was not able to keep with this vow. And we give example like a person said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me my degree that I pass the exam this year, that I'm going to feed 1,000 Muslim, but he passed the exam and found this is beyond his expectation or beyond his financial capability. So in this case, what he need to do, that for him to fast 3 days, or that he will free a slave. In actuality, he have to dress 10 Muslims. If he could not, he have a choice between three things: dressing or feeding or freeing a slave. So if he could not do any one of the three, now he would fast 3 days as expiation for this kind of vow. Also, if a person didn't name the vow that he made, say if Allah help me to pass this exam, I will do something good, okay, he did not specify, he did not make it specific what it is that he's going to do. So the expiation for this also to do the same like in an oath. If a person made a vow that if Allah helped me to pass the exam, that I will make a celebration and I will serve wine. So So this is haram. Okay. So he could not do this, and he still have to, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, to make up for this kind of vow by making what is equal to an oath. Okay. The first hadith in both narration is authentic as mawquf. There is another narration which is for Bukhari in the bottom of the book, page number 487. وللبخاري من حديث عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها ومن نذر أن يعصي الله فلا يعصيه ومن نذر أن يعصي الله فلا يعصيه. That whosoever made a vow that to disobey Allah, let him not disobey Allah. Okay, that a vow can be fulfilled if in your means, if it's halal, this is the condition that you fulfill it, or if it happened to be beyond your means, or you didn't name it and mention it, or that was a disobedient to Allah, you are not supposed to do, and you will make up for it. That means you will release yourself out of the sin of it by doing what you do in a case of an oath. If a person swear by Allah to do something and he didn't do it or he could not do it, so now he will address 10 Muslims, okay, like izar and rida, symbol, something to cover their body, or he will feed 10 Muslims, or he will free a slave, one of these. If he doesn't have any of these three available, he could not do it, now what he have to do? He will fast 3 days. Okay. There is another narration for Imam Muslim, which in page number 488, من حديث عمران رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لا وفاء لنذر في معصية. لا وفاء, a vow to do an act which is disobedient to Allah must not be fulfilled. Must not be what? Fulfilled. If you vow to do something haram, you don't do it, plus you have to make expiation for it. And this narration, which in Sahih Muslim, is authentic. Hadith 1182. وعن عقبة ابن عامر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال نذرت أختي أن تمشي إلى بيت الله حافية فأمرتني أن أستفتي لها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فاستفتيته فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لتمشي ولتركب. متفق عليه. عقبة ابن عامر, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated this hadith, which is in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic, that his sister took a vow to walk, to make hajj barefooted, that mean no shoes, okay, no sandal, to go to hajj from wherever she is all the way to the mosque of Allah in Mecca barefooted. And after this she asked her brother Aqba to question the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this kind of vow, if it's good or no. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that let her walk and ride, let her walk and ride. Why? Because this this is a long distance for her to walk. So this is something beyond her ability. Maybe she didn't think about it when she made this vow, but still she have to make expiation, to make atonement for it, to do forgiveness for it by doing the same thing in a case of oath. And she will do whatever easy on her, because for a person to put hardship on themselves that Allah didn't put in them, is no need for it. Because the deen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ, that Allah attends all facilities for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't attend any hardship. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make hardship in us, we shouldn't make hardship in ourselves. If there is means of transportation, take the means of transportation. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes things available for you like shoes and sandals, so while you have to walk barefooted, you may get hurt or cause difficulty for yourself. There's no need for this. So in this case, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let her to do something different. And also that when a person is not sure from what they're doing, they should ask the people of knowledge. And this is what is Aqba's sister asked her brother to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In another narration which is a hasan, is a good, the degree of it hasan, which is a collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i, Ibn Majah. Inna Allah Ta'ala la yasma'u bi shaqa'i ukhtika shay'a, murha faltakhtamir waltarkab waltasum thalathat ayyam. This is another narration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah doesn't attend any or doesn't benefit anything from the hardship that your sister going to go through it. So let her use her khimar and let her ride and let her fast 3 days. The 3 days will be tfaddal.
توفى حديثك تكون عسكلان وبول حجر في الأول من
نعم
عسكلان هذه في فلسطين وتاريخي زمان اسمها البلد الجورة لكن هي في التاريخ عسكلان
ما شاء الله
شوف كيف التاريخ وابو الحجر بلدنا اسمها حمام من الجورة او شامة يعني بطلع كم من كيلو في هناك بير اسمه بير ابو الحجر وبقينا نشرب منه واحنا يعني ماشيين بالجمال نروح على يافا
سبحان الله
والمنطقة هذيك اسمها لبطح تبع يعني لأرض حمامي لبطح اسمه بير ابو الحجر
Okay. The Sheikh was telling us about our Sheikh that who wrote the book Hajar al-Asqalani, that this is from their country and they have a well of water there. So it seems that he have some roots from Palestine. Yes. So this other narration which that Rasulullah ﷺ said, let her fast 3 days, this will make expiation for her vow, because she's going to change it to something different, because this will be a hardship on her. Hadith 1183. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال استفتى سعد بن عبادة رضي الله تعالى عنه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في نذر كان على امه توفيت قبل ان تقضيه فقال اقضيه عنها. متفق عليه. استفتى سعد ابن عبادة رضي الله تعالى عنه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في نذر كان على امه توفيت قبل ان تقضيه فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم اقضيه عنها. متفق عليه. The hadith is in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. So the hadith is sahih, is authentic. That Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he questioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning a vow that his mother had did in her lifetime, but she passed away before she was able to fulfill this vow. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told her son to make up for his mother. So from this hadith we understand that fulfilling the vow is a form of ibadah. يعني يجب الوفاء بالنذر. فإذا مات صاحب النذر فيقضيه عنه ولده أو ابنته. أو أي أحد من ورثته. ولكن الأقربون يعني أولى. So نعم. So to fulfill this vow is obligation. And if a person die before able to fulfill this vow, his children, sons or daughters, or those people who close relatives, they should try their best to make up for it, because this will be beneficial for the person who passed away. And this will be also a form of being kind to your parents even after their death. Okay. فبر الوالدين ما هو بس في الحياة, بر الوالدين يكون بعد الممات كذلك. فمن بر الوالدين اذا كان الوالدين عملوا يعني نووا نية انهم يعملوا نذر وماتوا قبل ان يقضي هذا النذر, فعلى احد الورثة او الاولاد انهم يقوموا بهذا, فهذا من حق الاباء على الابناء. And that the righteous deed will reach to the dead person even after his death. And we understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam inform us that إذا مات ابن آدم انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث. إذا مات ابن آدم انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن واحدة منها أو ولد صالح يدعو له. That when son of Adam dies, all his good deed is sealed, except three exceptions, and one of them a righteous son to invoke the blessings and the mercy for his father. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told Sa'd, may Allah be pleased with him, to make up for this vow, whatever it is that his mother, as example, she decided to fast and she died before to fast, or she decided she had intention to go to make Hajj and die before to make the Hajj. Her son, after her death, he will go and make up this for her in her behalf. Hayyallah Abu Khalid. Assalamu alaikum. Hadith 1184 in page number 489. وعن ثابت ابن الضحاك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال نذر رجل على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن ينحر إبلا ببوانة, فأتى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فسأله فقال هل كان فيها وثن يعبد؟ قال لا. قال فهل كان فيها عيد من أعيادهم, أي أعياد المشركين؟ فقال لا. فقال أوف بنذرك فإنه لا وفاء لنذر في معصية الله ولا في قطيعة رحم ولا فيما لا يملك ابن آدم. رواه أبو داود والطبراني واللفظ له وهو صحيح الإسناد، وله شاهد من حديث كردم عند أحمد، والحديث صحيح إن شاء الله. هذا الحديث reported by ثابت بن الضحاك and the hadith is authentic that Imam came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he had made a vow to slaughter camels in an area called Buwana. Okay. And this Buwana is like a village close by the Red Sea. And after this, the man he went and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Can I fulfill?" يعني هذا الرجل نذر ان هو يذبح ابل، ولكن نذرها في مكان معين. فراح يسأل الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، فالرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم سأله يعني هل كان في وثن يعبد هناك، هل كان في عيد يحتفل به من اعياد المشركين. فلما انتفت هذه الاشياء الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قال له ايه، وف بنذرك. ليه؟ لانه لا وفاء لنذر لا في المعصية ولا في قطيعة الرحم. يعني ما واحد يروح يعمل نذر انه ما راح اكلم ابن عمي، هذا ما يصير، هذا حرام. او واحد يقول انا راح اذبح هذا العجل لله ولكن عند قبر السيد البدوي، هذا ما ينبغي. ولا احد يقول بنذر لله ان الله شفى امي ان انا اجيب بالممثلة الفلانية ترقص قدام الباب، هذا كل هذا حرام. So when the man he went and asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, I made a vow to slaughter some camel in the Bawana, in Bawana. Close to
في ناس في عهد الزمان يذبحوا تحت النعش. كان هذا بدع عنهم.
نسأل الله العافية.
حرام.
Yes.
هذا بدع.
He say like in his country that the people go and slaughter sheep when they carry the janazas, the dead body. So when is the janazas, you go and kill sheep under the funeral, under the janazah, to be like some kind of means of forgiveness for him. So these things that we have to stay away from, all this bid'ah. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked the man who want to fulfill his vow, did the place contain any idol worshipped before? He said no. He asked him, is there any festival of the kuffar established in this area? He said no. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him to do his nadr, to fulfill his obligation, the vow. And after this, he increased him more in the knowledge by telling him that no fulfillment on the vow, if in a matter of disobedience to Allah or qati'at rahim. What is qati'at rahim? To cut the kinship ties. Yeah. Like somebody make a vow, I'm not going to talk to my aunt anymore. Okay, for a whole year. You could not fulfill this. This is wrong. Because these people who have a blood relationship with you, okay, you could not cut the relationship with them. Neither you can even cut the relationship between you and the Muslims in general, except if something for disobedience of Allah doing haram. Okay? So now a person could not make a vow that I'm going to understand smoke cracks, as example, if Allah make me bear the test, or if Allah make me healthy, or I'm going to distribute free wine. You could not do this. This is haram. Even if you made a vow in this, you could not do it. You make expiation for it. Okay? Neither you can fulfill a vow which you contain a cut of family relationship. And from this hadith also we understand that vow have to be only for the sake of Allah. You could not make any vow to other than Allah. That the place, if you make a specific place, you have to make the vowel in the specific place. But as long as this place is not a place of the kuffar for celebration or a church or anything that has any religious festival or religious form of worship, in this condition you could not fulfill this kind of vow. And from this also that we could not revive the festivals of the kuffar and the mushrikeen and the tribes and tribalism, okay? These things we are not Muslims, they are not have any parts of this tribalism and try to revive again the things that been established by ancestors. Because when you become a Muslim, now this everything is new. Where you celebrate, when you celebrate, how to celebrate, everything that you used to do it before is different. Okay? Hadith number 1185, وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رجلا قال يوم الفتح يا رسول الله إني نظرت إن فتح الله عليك مكة أن أصلي في بيت المقدس فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم صلي ها هنا فسأله فقال صلي ها هنا فسأله فقال شأنك إذن رواه أحمد. Hadith is authentic, reported by Jabir. The hadith, this man had made a vow that if Allah gives the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the grand opening of Mecca, he conquer Mecca and take it over, that he will go and make salah in Bayt al-Maqdis. Okay, يروح يصلي في بيت المقدس. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the grand opening, and this man came and he said, O Prophet of Allah, I had made this vow to make salah in Bayt al-Maqdis in Jerusalem. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to what? Make salah here. He said, I made my vow to make it in Jerusalem. So he said to him, make salah here. He said, I made the vow to make in Jerusalem. He said, this is your business now. I have nothing to do with you, okay? Because as-salah fi masjid al-haram fi Mecca ta'ad 100,000 salah, was-salah fi al-Quds 500 salah. Fa'idha law salah fi masjid al-haram fa'thawab afdal. فالإنسان لا يترك ال 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 الكثير ويروح للقليل، ها؟ هذا مفضول وهذا أفضل. فالصلاة في المسجد الحرام تكفي. فالرجل لما ألح على الرسول قال له خلاص على كيفك، إيش أسوي لك؟ قلت لك صلي، أنا ما وعجبك خلاص روح. So because in salah in the mosque of Mecca is equal to 100,000 salah, okay, in the Prophet mosque 1,000 salah, in Jerusalem salah 500 salah, okay. So now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was telling him about what is better for him. Yes, he made a vow, but by praying in the Kaaba mosque, this is more rewarded, so you don't have to go to Jerusalem, you're already here in Mecca, go ahead and do it. But he said, but I said in my vow to make it an Aqsa. He said, I said here. He said, but I may. Says, your business.
ذكرهم في الحج. اللي حج الإنسان وهو مقوي أفضل ما يبقى عجوز ختار. لأنه لما يبقى ختار مقدرش يطوف ويسعى. الأفضل يحجه مقوي.
He's saying to you that it's better for you that you make your Hajj while a strong young man. Because when you get old, you're not going to be making Sa'i and Tawaf, it's going to be very difficult for you. So that everybody should should inshallah try to make it while he's young, and as you understand, you don't know when you're going to die. الإنسان يتعجل بالخيرات لأن الإنسان ما يدري متى يموت.
صح.
Yeah.
وبعدين المقدر سيدي المقدر.
الاستطاعة.
الاستطاعة المقدر يعني.
نعم.
وما حدش يأتم.
نسأل الله العافية.
أيوه.
If you have the means to make Hajj and you don't make Hajj, that you will be. نعم. You will be committing sin. So. And comes the hadith number 1186 عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تشد الرحال إلا إلى ثلاثة مساجد: مسجد الحرام، ومسجد الأقصى، ومسجدي هذا. متفق عليه. The hadith is reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. The hadith is authentic. May Allah send mercy on both of them, Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that no religious journeys is to be undertaken except for prayer in the mosque. Three mosques: the mosque which in Mecca, or the mosque in Jerusalem, Al-Quds, or the mosque which is the mosque of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other than this, a person to initiate is a trip for purpose of making salah in another mosque and spend money and time, you could not do this, because all the mosques are equal in the reward. So from somebody, as example, say, let me go leave Colombia and go all the way to Charlotte, okay, or Alabama, to make salah there in the mosque there, because now he's spending something like $200, and you're taking 2-3 days to go and come back to make salah there. What will, for what? Is no any reward in this, okay? So why you don't pray where you are? The only time you can make a traveling hoping reward to pray in a mosque is one of these three mosques: Masjid al-Haram, or Masjid al-Aqsa, or Masjid al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as I stated, the Masjid al-Haram is the most rewarded one, which each salah that you get a reward equal. Is not the salah make up for 100,000 salah. So somebody will go and say, I made one salat al-Zuhr there, so now I don't have to pray 100,000 Zuhr. Huh? No, you're getting a reward, but this is not going to make up for what you're missing or what come in the future. Okay? ما يروح واحد يقول لك أنا طيب الصلاة في المسجد الحرام بمئة ألف صلاة وأنا صليت الظهر هنا خلاص ما مش هصلي لي 3-4 سنوات. ما يصير. الله يعني بينعم عليك بهذا الأجر. ولكن معنى ذلك أن الإنسان ما يروح يبطل يصلي أو يقول أنا ما صليت وخلاص لما اكبر بروح احج وبصلي وكل صلاة هناك بمئة الف هذا تعوض كل اللي انا خربطته من قبل. ما يصير. Somebody say when I get older I see I will go make Hajj and I make one salah there in Masjid al-Haram will make up for all the salah that I missed before. You could not do this. You get in the reward 100,000 salah.
But if you're in the same, like if you're within a city and there's a big masjid with a big congregation, shouldn't you not want to, but isn't it afdal that you go and pray in a larger congregation because you get more reward?
This is true, but not to initiate a trip.
Yeah.
As example, okay, let's assume, may Allah forbid, that there is two masjid in Colombia. Okay? So, and one, as we understand, there is only one masjid here, okay, at least one, because the masjid on the sunnah, okay, the correct aqidah, because this is the most important thing, it's not the building. Yeah. So now, there's 10 people pray here and 100 people pray here, okay? But you don't make a trip traveling. This is what we're talking about. لا تشد الرحال. شد الرحال means preparation of a traveling, getting your suitcase and buying your ticket and. Okay? Okay. Alhamdulillah. Last hadith in this chapter 1187 وعن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله إني نظرت في الجاهلية أن أعتكف ليلة في المسجد الحرام قال أوفي بنذرك متفق عليه. Okay, the hadith once again. وعن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله إني نظرت في الجاهلية أن أعتكف ليلة في المسجد الحرام قال أوفي بنذرك. فمن هذا الحديث نفهم مشروعية الإيفاء بالنذر حتى الذي نذره الإنسان قبل إسلامه طالما أنه طاعة، وكذلك صحة الاعتكاف وجواز الاعتكاف بدون صيام، وأن من نذر نذرا خالصا من الشرك قبل أن يسلم فعليه أن يوفي به إن شاء الله. Hadith reported by Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, that he questioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, O Messenger of Allah, I had made in the time pre-Islam, before Islam, that I had made a vow to spend a night in devotion in the holy mosque. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, fulfill your vow. Fulfill your vow. Okay? So Umar radiallahu anhu, when he made this vow, he made it before he became Muslim. So when he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him to fulfill it. Because it is a ta'ah, is obedient to Allah, even if he had made it before Islam. And also from this we understand that a person can make nadhr if he wish in what? In i'tikaf. So somebody said, if Allah give me such and such, I will give such amount of money to the poor people. Somebody can say, if Allah did so and so to me, I will make 4 rak'at, or I will make i'tikaf, or I will fast 10 days. So all this form of obedience to Allah is acceptable. And also we understand that you can make i'tikaf without siyam, because some of the scholars said that when you have to make i'tikaf, you have to make siyam. Because what did he make nadr? To spend a night. Okay? An a'takifa laylatan fil masjid al-haram. To spend a night, and during the night there is no fasting. And with this we could, inshallah we come to the end of this. And chapter كتاب القضاء نتكلم عنه إن شاء الله بعد صلاة العشاء, because it's time for صلاة now. So we finish this. We after صلاة العشاء إن شاء الله we go to the book of judgment and ruling and judges and settlements between disputers and things like this will be after the salah inshallah and Allah knows best. Anybody have a quick question? How much in the tape, Habib?
Only 3 minutes.
Yes, okay, we'll take before I forget, inshallah, since we talk about the Masjid al-Haram, for those people who are planning for Hajj, we have a good deal for you, and this is not a business deal here, we'll try to give you the good news. $2,300 for this year, and you can be company Sheikh MSA. Yes, $2,300 only for Hajj. $2,300 only for Hajj. Believe it or not, all what you need, sell one of your computers and a printer, and you can make a Hajj.
Computers not working, brother.
One hajj fits all. Yes, brother Yassin.
I have a really quick question. When we first came to the States and we were going to school, there was no mosque at the city that we are in.
Mm-hmm.
But we used to travel to another city
mm-hmm.
nearby to go make Jummah. Was that okay or not?
And it's not obligation in you, because a person that is no mosque and the mosque is a distance from you, that will be a traveling, and the person who does not have Jummah on him, if he's a traveler. So you should make it Dhuhr as this eight, except you going there to learn something from the khutbah, is it inshallah acceptable and Allah knows best. Okay, we call the adhan. Yes, Anwar, go ahead.
Okay, this is sort of related, but can you make siyam while you're on hajj?
Can you make siyam while in your hajj? Not in Arafah. Okay? Not in the day of Arafah. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade fasting of the day of Arafah to the person who's in Arafah, to give you extra strength to remember Allah and make dua and all these things. Okay? And Allah knows best. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Anybody want to call the adhan, inshallah? عندك شيء يا طارق؟
What's the date today?
The date? I didn't get the date, so I got the money only. But approximately something like 15 of March about.
يعني هذا أول شعبان
no.
What is the date today?
Today is in March.
You talking about Hajj?
No.
What is today's date?
Yeah.
I didn't look to the prison, but it may be the first. It may be. Because when I was in Durham, I look after Fajr and I see that the prison about to disappear. So maybe we need to look outside and see, or tomorrow as soon as sunset you can look.